Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 71.
So this week, it's Daisy's turn to share something with us. Daisy, what do you have?
Well, Terry, I have a question for you. What is the key to happiness? We are going to be talking about happiness. This is coming from one of my favorite podcasts, Feel Better, Live More with Rangan Chatterjee, and it's episode number 181, How Understanding Your Personality Will Make Your Life Better with Gretchen Rubin. Now, most of the podcast, they were talking about her four tendencies, but as you will know, I'm sure, she is all about happiness and what it means and how we attain it and helping people to basically be happier. And so they spent the first part of the podcast talking around this subject a bit, and I thought it was quite interesting. And we were joking about how many pages of notes I make, and I think I did manage to get about 4 pages of notes just out of the first part of the podcast. So the podcast does go on to talk about the four tendencies, which, as you know, I find very interesting. And I think it's one of the keys, really, to the better you know yourself. And that's obviously one of the tools for doing that, finding out what your tendency is. The better you know yourself, the easier it is to make the kind of changes you need to make in your life to make you happier. So they talk a bit about asking what happiness is. What does it mean? And why do we struggle with it so much? And she talks about how it's so elusive. It's a really difficult thing to pin down. And she says the definition of happiness, even when it comes to academic definitions, there are a lot of them. And she prefers much more of a loose layperson's type definition because it is so subjective and we bring a lot to the term as individuals. And a little note that I made to myself was asking the question, is the key or one of the keys to being happier, dropping the idea that happy can ever be a fixed state? And when you think about having fixed goals, particularly when they're tied to material things, if that's how you think of happiness, striving for a goal, but when you actually attain that goal, it's rarely enough for very long. What you think will make you happy once you get it, it's never enough. You want more, you want something different. And they talk a little bit about starting to think about other words to use instead and other things to tie happiness to, like achievement and fulfillment. It gives you a more lasting feeling of happiness. And also that it's all part of a growth trajectory. Gretchen talks about how growth is really, really important. But she says she thinks the key is to talk about being happier rather than happy. Because happy, being happy, happiness is such an elusive term. She says it's a lot easier to just think about being happier and making decisions after asking this sort of question. Will I be happier next month, next year, next whenever, if I do this or make this or that choice? Because otherwise, how do you define being happy? It's so hard to do it in the first place. And then how do you stay feeling that way once you have it? And I think there's this problem with this fixed perspective. Too often with all sorts of things, there's a line and you think that when you cross that line, X will be true. And thinking that you'll be happier once you get across that line. You know, everything will be great when I get to 10 stone was my thing, you know, my goal weight. And I got there and it was just this real sort of anti-climax. It's a lot easier to answer the question and to be clearer about, would this make me happier? And it's really much more about the process, she says, rather than some arbitrary arrival point. So when you think about being happier, if something can make you happier, Is something giving you more of the things that you love, bringing you more joy, a sense of achievement, fulfillment, satisfaction? Is my life aligned with my values? A big one. Am I growing in some way? Another big one. And also, is it bringing me less of negative emotions? And I was wondering, this is my side note, my question to you probably as the expert, but I was thinking, it struck me, does a fixed goal appeal more to you when you're trying to get away from something? It's something other than where I am now. It's just something, a thought that came into my mind when I was writing these notes. So if you establish what would make you happier, you can then start figuring out what you're lacking now. What is there not enough of in your life that would make you happier?
So when you say a fixed goal, what do you mean by that?
Well, a bit like the example I just used about my weight loss goal. Mm-hmm. I had this mythical fixed goal of 10 stone. And I think when it was so far away, I don't know if there was something in mind that it was so unattainable. I don't know. It was just this kind of this number on a pedestal, but this is my goal and this was the focus. But when I got there, you know, it lasted all for a couple of weeks and it was a real anticlimax.
The reason I ask is because I think this is a great topic. I recently was talking about this in my work, and the way James Clear talks about this, and I know different people use different terms to kind of describe different things, so I'm not sure how this lines up with what she would say about it, but outcome goals, like lose this weight by this date, often people struggle more to make lasting change from, because reaching the goal is all that matters.
Mm.
And so the behaviors to get there don't really sink in, because all you really were focusing on was getting to the goal. And so I think that may be part of it. Is it reaching the goal that is going to suddenly make you happy? Or is it living in a way that fits this goal that's going to help you be happier? And so his other term he used was process goals. You know, if I want to be at that thinner weight, that it's more about how do I want to live my life to be at that weight and to be healthy and whatnot. And that is a, when you're talking about changing habits, that's an often for many of us a more successful way to change habits, focusing on process goals versus outcome goals. So I think in what you're describing, a fixed goal of when this happens, I will be happy, is almost always something that sets us up to not be happy.
Mm.
Versus if we can focus on the how do I want to feel? How do I want to navigate this life and make steps on that? That can make us happier.
Yes. And I think it's just that it just sort of made me think about this, you know, I want to be something other than I am now. And it's focusing on that goal. You, like you say, you're missing that whole process part, which is really the important part.
Mm-hmm.
So if you nail that process, if you're working on that process, if that process is always evolving, then it doesn't really matter when you get to that arbitrary goal that you had before. Mm-hmm. The important part has been the process of getting there. And that's the bit that will have the lasting impact. And that's the bit that can make you happier in stages. As she says, it's elusive. It's this thing that you feel like you're sort of grasping at ideas and thoughts about it. And they sort of drift away from you as you're trying to talk about it. It's a difficult thing to pin down, isn't it?
A lot of terms, I think, in the whole self-help psychological sphere, they're sometimes challenging to quantify, because we all mean something different when we say I'm happy or I'm working toward happiness.
Yes, and that's what she said at the beginning. It is so subjective that you've got to come from that individual perspective.
The other thing, and I've not listened to this episode yet, so I'll be very interested in listening to it, but I think the idea of happier instead of happy is this is a finite thing. Mm. I'm either having it or I'm not having it, versus I can always have some of it and there's room for more. That's a very different experience between those two places.
Yes, exactly. And that is the problem with that sort of black and white concept of happy. And they talked a bit about this and saying that we often fall into that trap that we feel like we have to be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it works. They talked about different elements. You know, what do you have too much of that is negative? Too much boredom, frustration, indignation, resentment, anger, life not lived in harmony with values, stagnation. Rongan asks, is happiness different in different areas of our lives? Like, for example, the difference between work and personal life. And they talked around and about it a bit, but really came down to that relationships are what is key, and that meaningful relationships are so important in all areas of our life. They look different, but that core connection is the same, that needing to feel valued and to feel seen and appreciated, be that by your boss or your partner. They all sort of come down to the same kind of core principles. And back to the idea of talking about happier rather than happy, Rongan asked Gretchen about things that make you feel good in the moment, but could negatively impact your happiness in the longer term. And she says, ah, yes, yeah, this is one of the biggest tensions in the question of happiness now versus future. And you mentioned James Clear, and he talks about this, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. And really what it comes down to is the balance between the two. That's something that can feel good in the moment, but that's going to have long-term negative consequences, or something maybe that doesn't feel so good in the moment, but that is going to give you a sense of fulfillment maybe in the longer term. And thinking about it a bit, maybe happiness versus using some other words like we mentioned before, in this case, meaning and purpose. Happiness doesn't always make you feel happy or good in the moment, and it doesn't need to. But if it's aligning with your values, it can improve your overall happiness and your happiness down the road in the future, but just not always in the moment. So if you're somebody that is seeking happiness, if you seek to be happy, you're quite often seen as maybe a bit selfish or self-serving. But those who are generally happier, she says, tend to be more giving, kind, thoughtful people. And it gives you the emotional wherewithal to turn that happiness that you find for yourself outwards to other people. And they talk about how conflict and negativity and stress, these are all things that we're going to encounter. But the overall happier person finds it a lot easier to deal with these things. And obviously, they go on to talk about tendencies, and we're not going to talk about that today. But really, it's this awareness and knowing yourself and not trying to force yourself into boxes that are incongruous with who you are. But that has to start with an awareness of what you're like, what your tendencies are, to then figure out if your life is reasonably in line with that. And she talks about drift. She says, beware of drift. What is drift? Drift is a decision you make by not deciding. And you can drift into something for many reasons. The word implies it's easy, but often it isn't. But this drift can really impact your happiness. Sometimes it can work out by accident, of course, and you just happen to drift into the right thing for you. But so often that's not the case with drift. And much better is to intentionally and purposefully make decisions. But what do you do if you've drifted into something that you ultimately find you're not happy with, a career maybe that you find you're not happy with? And they talk a bit about her own history, and this is where she found herself. And she said one of the ways out of this is that you can ask the question, you know, what do you like doing in your free time? What are you passionate about? And that was her way out. You know, she talks about how when she drifted into becoming a lawyer. I think it was what her father did. So often the case when your parents do something and that's what you drift into. Mm-hmm. And she drifted into it. But her passion was writing, and that's what she did in her free time. She said, she did her job very well, but she wasn't passionate about it. And that's how she, you know, she ended up going into writing instead. But again, this is one of my side notes. I just think this can be a bit dangerous, though, when it comes to work. When talking about happiness, if you're thinking, you can only be happy if you love your job. But it's very hard, I think, when you know you're doing something you don't want to do, but neither do you really know what you do want to do. But I think that goes back to this question of thinking about being happier rather than happy. It's this sort of degrees of making things a little bit better, trying to be a bit happier. You see what I mean? It feels very slippery.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of the challenge is in some way what many of us maybe have felt like we were supposed to do is like it's an on or off switch. Mm. You're in it or you're not in it. One way I would describe it is it's an overall way of experiencing things, but it's also a feeling you have sometimes. I don't know if this fits with what she described, but I think, for example, clients used to say to me, well, Terry, how can I possibly be happy? My friend is dying. Well, you're not happy about your friend dying, but that doesn't mean you can't find moments of happiness in what's going on in your life right now. Mm. And so, like you said, whether it's career, relationships, physical health, and other areas, I don't think we have to wait until all of the areas in our lives are all lined up in a certain way and then say, yes, I'm happy. It's turning up the volume in any one area, highlighting the things. So if I'm really struggling in relationship right now, maybe I really need to pay attention to the things in my career that bring me joy and happiness, and vice versa. You know, that it's not like a light switch. We're not just in happiness or out of happiness. It's not light or dark.
Yes, and it's this difference between happy as the goal rather than happier as the process, as the steps. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a good example there you use about, yeah, maybe somebody who's really sick, somebody who's got cancer, how can they be happy at all? But yes, you could ask that question, what would make you a little bit happier tomorrow than you've been today? Mm-hmm. You know, there might just be a little thing. And that's the thing, if you think about it as little steps, what could make me a bit happier tomorrow?
And I think that statement there opens up this whole world of possibility of, often, again, I think we are thinking of it in a kind of limited way. What would make me happier? What do I need to have? What steps do I need to take? What could I obtain or achieve or whatever to be happier? Versus I could think differently. Mm. So if I'm sick, I could sit here on my patio and listen to birds and be happy and joyful about the sound of birds, despite the fact that I'm sick. It makes me think of the movie Inside Out and the idea that if you're struggling with something, you can't also be feeling positive about something. Mm. You know, the idea that we have different emotions happening concurrently. I can be angry and still love you. Those don't seem to, you know, fit for people, and they have to sit with one or the other versus no, both can exist at the same time. So I can be happier right now that I'm listening to this bird, but I'm not happy that I'm sick. And I think we get really clouded in if there are things in my life that aren't going as I would want them to go, I can't acknowledge being in a place of happiness.
Mm. So I think you've seen how much I struggled and grappled with this concept of happiness versus happier. But I really like the idea of focusing on happier and the probable small steps that you can take that feel much more achievable towards getting that. And that it is, she talks about how important growth is, that they're part and parcel. It's always evolving. It's always, growth is, you know, always ongoing, isn't it? And trying to be a little bit happier feels the same. It feels like it has a similar energy about it, rather than trying to pinpoint this fixed happy that you're never going to be able to do, because every time you go and grab it, it just disappears in a puff of smoke.
And I, my own twist on it that I'll kind of add what you just said, I think for me, the takeaway, even though this isn't maybe what she said, but the takeaway for me is also to not be working toward arriving at happiness. That it's more to be engaging in my life in ways that bring happier moments, happier feelings, happier results, rather than if I do this, then I will arrive at happiness, because it doesn't really work that way. But if I live my life and engage in these certain ways, I will be able to connect with moments of being happier. And that it's an evolutionary process. It's not just something you arrive at or can't achieve.
Absolutely.
And so for me, Daisy, this reminds me, and I hope this is maybe a takeaway for everyone, the thing you have emphasized a couple of times is it's about the small steps. It's not a grand scheme or a grand goal that will bring it. It's the daily small things that I think really bring that becoming happier, or make that something that we can experience. So I'm going to walk away with that idea from today of, what are the small steps? What's something I could do to feel happier this afternoon? What's something in this moment I could feel happier about? And for me, being honest enough with myself, obviously you and I came together around food issues and things, but I can't just make myself happier by eating all the time. I can't just make myself happier by doing things that have dire consequences in other ways in my life. But just in the moment, what do I need to feel happier? I think that's a great focus that we all could benefit from.
Yes, and remembering sometimes that those things in the moment are going to give you payback and reward later on.
Absolutely. Well, I hope everyone has a happier week and finds moments of just acknowledging happiness being a part of their lives, maybe not the constant state, but moments of joy and happiness and feeling happier.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you have a happier week.
Me too, Daisy. Bye, everybody.